Our present conference is a second on the subject of prayer before the Blessed Sacrament. We have so far seen something of what prayer before the Blessed Sacrament means and why we should practice it. Bishops, priests, religious, and the laity. In the present conference, I suggest we look at how. I might begin by observing that I'll be quoting Father Gerald at some length in this conference on how to pray before the Blessed Sacrament. I would also like to add that in this very context, he observes that as a soul advances in the spiritual life, the formal framework, systematic arrangement, becomes less and less important. Nevertheless, I will follow Father Gerald's, let's call it, which he calls it, framework. In context, of course, he is talking about the holy hour. And we call the biblical foundation. It is Christ's own question to his sleeping disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane. Could you not stay awake and watch with me for 1 hour? Keeping in mind, it is the self-same, identical God made man in his human nature, who is now on earth in the Blessed Sacrament. The logic that Father Gerald recommends corresponds to the four ends or purposes for which the sacrifice of the Mass is offered: adoration, petition, reparation, and love or loving affection. We begin by asking ourselves, why should we adore when we are before the Blessed Sacrament? Well, the reason we should adore is because in the Holy Eucharist is literally, physically present the infinite and therefore adorable God. We are liable to underestimate the importance, as Father Gerald does, of subdividing the various elements or ways in which we can and should pray before the Blessed Sacrament. The recommendation, to put it mildly, of adoring Christ in the Blessed Sacrament is much more profound than might normally meet the eye. We believe, of course, that God is simply to be adored period, because he is God. On the other hand, there is a difference between adoring God in general because he is God, and directing, focusing one's adoration specifically, concretely, uniquely at this God, who is therefore adorable, who is present, united with his human nature, and this God made man, literally contained. That's the church's language, continator, contained within the ambit of the Eucharistic species. This adoring of God, present as the God-man of the Blessed Sacrament, is no generic adoration. It is directly, immediately focused on Christ present within the Eucharistic elements. Father Gerald begins by drawing comparison between the spontaneous adoration we should offer God because, and once we become aware in the world of creation who it is, who God is, says Father Gerald, we see the majesty of the mountains round about us. We have our ear gradually attuned to the harmonies and symphonies that are going around, even down into the insect world. There is a whole voice of nature, and it is a harmonious voice. The majestic beauty of the moon, as it serves as a symbol of the Mother of God, taking its light as Mary takes all from God, casting it into the dark, the beauty of the stars set as so many candles upon the altars of the universe. So it is, Father Gerald continues, all except God's rational creatures. The whole of creation adores according to its nature. Even the stars singing in their orbits as they obey with exactitude the laws of their Creator. Now the sobering thought. All but men and angels, all but fallen men and fallen angels, obey the rule of their Creator, the raison d'etre of their being. Unquote, Father Gerald. We are therefore to adore. But what a difference between adoring God because, well, we believe there is a God who is the creator of heaven and earth, and except for whom we would be nothing. The difference between adoring God because he is our creator and adoring God who we believe is here, present, localized. God is localized in the fullness of his infinity. Having assumed a human nature, and in that human nature, this God is present as alters mainly, primarily, fundamentally, that we might, looking at the Eucharistic species, believing as we do, that behind those species is a man, and behind that man is God. Second recommendation of Father Gerald, petition. God has made us, and he has made us needy creatures. Our needs become our desires, and our desires only God can finally fulfill. Let me repeat. God has made every one of us needy creatures. Our needs become our desires, and our desires only God can satisfy. Let me read a few sentences from Father Gerald. As you read this, and I reread it in preparation for this evening's conference, I thought to myself, anyone who would express the sentiments that Father Gerald here expresses has become quite advanced in the spiritual life. Before the Blessed Sacrament, we should express the made man what our needs are, says Father Gerald. What is the most precious thing that a person can have? In other words, what is our deepest need? What should be our strongest desire? What should be whatever else we ask for, beg Christ in the Eucharist to give us? Father Gerald says, to love Jesus. And knowing him by now as well as I do, he meant it. Without any doubt, Father Gerald continues, without any qualification, to love God is God's greatest gift a matter of fact. The man who truly loves God with a proper motive loves God for himself. We ask, I would like to insert the verb, we should ask, above all, for the grace to love God, and that will please our Lord very much. Before we go on to the third level or form of prayer that we should practice before the Blessed Sacrament, let me be as concrete as I can. The prayer of petition, by definition, is asking God for what we need. Do we always need what we want? Do we always need what we want? Do we always want what we need? And neither. However, I'd like to get inside of Father Gerald's mind as he tells us in this prayer of petition we should ask to love Jesus. Depending on the heights of sanctity to which God wants to raise us, and depending on how much resistance God's grace meets in ourselves, God infallibly will send us difficulties, trials, misunderstanding, failure, disappointment, rejection, suffering, physical pain. But in and through all these obvious needs that we spontaneously sense we have, and we beg God, Lord, deliver me, free me. What God has in view is always that, having tried and purified our hearts of one creature after another, we will finally please God, have only one desire left, to love Jesus. The third level of prayer before the Blessed Sacrament, says Father Gerald, should be reparation. And with so much of the vocabulary of our faith, reparation, of course, corresponds to the verb to repair. Evidently, to to repair something that was damaged. But more concretely, it means making up for the sins that we and others have committed. Now, I hope I'll be clear. What do we really mean when we say we are making acts of reparation or praying expiatory prayer? We are praying for two things, always, both for ourselves and others. And if Father Gerald's thinking, those others, always with emphasis, include priests. To obtain from God, present as a man in the Blessed Sacrament, to obtain from him, for ourselves and others, the graces that have been lost through sin. Years of exposure to theological language has forced me to get my mind as clear as I possibly can. Others can be clearer. Is as clear as my mind can get. When anyone sins, they lose grace, period. Lesser sin, less grace. Greater sin, more grace. Mortal sin, all the sanctifying grace. When then we are praying reparatory prayer, they're asking God, and notice, unless this kind of prayer were offered by somebody, the graces that had been removed or withdrawn would not be restored. Second object of the prayer of reparation. Sin always deprives the sinner of grace. Grace as a possession of the soul, sanctifying grace, the virtues of faith, hope, and charity. Every sin weakens faith. Every sin weakens hope. Every sin weakens the virtue of charity. What then are we praying for? We are praying for a restoration of the grace that had been lost through sin. Take faith, and nothing blinds the human mind, nothing more than sin, nothing. A genius will babble like an idiot. I've heard it. I've read it. In case nobody's ever told you, people can babble in print. Some people don't even think you can tell a lie in print. the blindness of a human mind that has been blinded by sin. Well, then are we praying for the grace lost by the sin might, through God's mercy, be restored? But there is another inevitable consequence of sin. Two things always happen when a person sins. Grace, in greater or less measure, is always lost. No exceptions. Secondly, pain becomes due for having committed the sin. Sin, grace, pain go together. The prayer of reparation, therefore, before Christ in the Blessed Sacrament, besides asking, begging for ourselves and others, the restoration of the grace that had been lost by sin, we beg the merciful Savior to spare the sinner the suffering. There are three words that are almost synonymous: suffering, penalty, and pain. I like the monosyllable, pain. All the suffering in the world, all the anguish and agony now of countless generations, all, faith tells us, all is the consequence of sin, comma, all. And God knows, as only He knows, what retribution is coming to a world like ours, to a beloved nation like ours. God is not mocked if Sodom was destroyed. In the Old Testament, nations committing sodomy will be destroyed. And I don't have to be in Ezekiel or a Jeremiah to make that statement. And the worst suffering for which we are to pray before the Blessed Sacrament, that God in His mercy might hold back the hand of His justice, the worst suffering we know, He is not in this world or in this life, but in the world and the life to come. How many times I would die rather than identify the persons. How many times I've asked God, our Lord, before the Blessed Sacrament, Lord, spare X from hell. One more level of prayer before the Blessed Sacrament. Love. This is the final and crowning form of prayer when we are present in the presence of God become man, localized within measurable distance from us. And that expression, measurable distance, is part of our faith. Quote Father Gerald. As we pray before the tabernacle, we are exercising our liberty in a way that no irrational creature can. Now, a direct quotation. It is true that stars give their light and glory, but they cannot do otherwise. The birds sing their songs, but they cannot do otherwise. The flowers cannot help but be beautiful. The orchards cannot but be fruitful according to a fixed law. But you and I, we can voluntarily, willingly give something to God. And what can we give to God that he does not already possess? What a mysterious question. And an equally mysterious answer. We can give him our love. Unquote, Father Gerald. We don't fathom the mystery of the Trinity in God. We cannot fathom the mystery of liberty in man. But without comprehending it, we better believe it. We can withhold. What are we saying? Is it possible we can withhold from the Almighty what he wants? Or we can give him, and no one but we, always, of course, with his help, but in the last analysis, it is we. If we want to, can give him our wills. I thought the best prayer that I could close this conference with, and on the fourth level of our prayer before the Blessed Sacrament, which is the prayer of love, is to quote my own father in God, St. Ignatius. It is by now, I trust, well known in Latin, Suscipe. O Lord, and receive all my liberty, my understanding, and all my will. All that I have and possess, you have given all of these to me, to you. I restore them. All are yours. Dispose of them according to your will. Give me your love and your grace. Having but these, I am rich enough and ask for nothing more. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.